Hey, it's Canzano. I appreciate you listening to the podcast. Make sure you subscribe and give us some feedback. Also, the Bald-Faced Truth podcast, it's brought to you by Shoe Mill, my favorite shoe store with locations in Portland and Salem and online at shoemill.com. Shoe Mill, where we put the world at your feet.
Initialize sequence.
Welcome to the Baldcast, a production of John Canzano's Bald-Faced Truth.
It's like 24 hours ago, the New England Patriots pulled Jake Luton aside during the combine, wanted to interview him, and he thought, oh, this is just a regular interview. He's 6'7". He's Oregon State's quarterback, 28 touchdowns, 3 interceptions this season. And Luton later reported or revealed that the Patriots asked him, how would you feel about replacing Tom Brady? Now, they may be doing some negotiating. They may be signaling to Brady, hey, if you're going to move on, we'll move on without you. Still, thought that was interesting. Neil Lomax joining us, former NFL quarterback, Portland State legend. By the way, 28 touchdowns was like 3 weeks for him in college. He joins us now. How are you, Neil?
I'm doing great, JC. Good to hear your voice. Thanks for having me on.
Was there such a thing as a combine when you were coming out of school at Portland State?
The big tractor from the Midwest, or where you go work out? What are you talking about?
Did you work out?
I cannot believe. I was just thinking about before you called. So I got drafted in 81. So that's, I mean, my God, John, 40. Are we talking 40 years ago?
Wow.
I'm a grandpa now, so that makes sense. But so I remember they had three or four different agencies that represent, I think, 5 or 6 teams. So, for example, the Bledsoe Group had Kansas City, Dallas, Washington, Miami, and San Francisco. So you'd fly into San Francisco and work out for 4 or 5 of the teams. Okay, or you'd meet with them, they'd give you a physical. So I flew to, I think, San Francisco, Dallas, New York, Kansas City, and Green Bay. I remember flying to 4 or 5 different cities throughout the spring to try out because they didn't have Indianapolis back then.
When you worked out for them, when you worked out, was it just you throwing routes, or did they want to measure your hands and ask you a bunch of questions?
I don't remember measuring extremities, but I'd come in. I never forget one week I came in. Freeman McNeil was there. Ronnie Lott was there. Kenny Easley was there. Lawrence Taylor. So they'd fly 8 or 9 of you in thinking it was kind of a guy's, John, that they're actually thinking about drafting in the first round. Kind of like now. I mean, my God, Mel Kiper and Tom McShay, those guys, they do an amazing job last 10, 15 years talking to scouts and they know. They kind of know who are the 20, 25, 30 guys. And I think back then, they didn't have the film. They just couldn't find out, you know, is this Neil Lomax guy throwing all these touchdowns? Is he the real deal? We'd better meet him, and just like they're doing with the quarterbacks now. So we just had to travel a lot. We just couldn't go to one city. They didn't have any film on us. So that was great for me to go meet these teams because they really had no idea really who I was.
Did you feel confident going to draft day that it was going to be the Cardinals or someone else? Were they telling you, hey, we got you if you're there?
No, I think the Cardinals were at the Dallas one. I remember them working me out, but the word I got, the letters I would get or phone calls I was getting was pretty much from the top 10 or 12 teams that were going to draft in the first round. Green Bay was very active. They had a guy there named Lynn Dickey, who was a quarterback, and he was ready to leave. Dallas had Staubach was leaving. Danny White was kind of leaving. So I knew there was 4 or 5 teams that kind of wanted a quarterback, and it was a very weak – it was a terrible weak quarterback class in 1981. There was nobody – the trivia is amazing. There was out of I think out of 28 picks, John, 24 picks that year were all defensive players.
Wow.
Yeah. So very, very poor offensive in a quarterback class, unlike the last two or three years we've seen. And unlike this year, they got, what, three or four guys are looking pretty good.
Neil Lomax with us, former All-Pro NFL quarterback, Portland State, an NCAA record setter at Portland State. Lomax, when you look at Jake Luton, let's start with him at Oregon State. 28 touchdowns, three interceptions, good size, 6'7". What kind of pro do you see when you see Jake Luton?
You know, I don't know, and that's why these combines are great for guys like Jake and guys that aren't mentioned by Todd McShay and Mel Kiper aren't on the board for the first 30 picks or something. This is perfect for them because they check a lot of boxes. You know, size, athletic ability, arm strength. Okay, you played Division I, Pac-12. They check a few boxes. But there's a lot of boxes there that are empty, and it's great for guys like that who might go, you know, second, third, fourth, late fifth round. And you might find that at Brady. You might find that Montana. You might find the Russell Wilson. I mean, go back, John, and do your stats, and I'm sure your Snap research crew will do it. How many quarterbacks – you know, are playing right now who did not go in the first round. And there's a bunch of them. So, to me, now, today's age, Jake Luton's getting a better benefit of the combine than Justin Herbert. He can nothing but go down. Because the last 10 years, if you're not picking the first round, you're not expected to play right away. But if you're picking the first round, you're expected to play right away. That's the deal. That's what it is. It's win now. And so those first-round draft picks, a lot of pressure.
Moving to Justin Herbert, he will throw. Joe Burrow won't throw. Tua's not going to throw, obviously. Herbert's going to throw. What have you seen? Because there have been times in Oregon season where I saw him make a throw and I went, wow, that's a guy who's going to play on Sundays. And then there's other times when I kind of forget about him and then I start wondering, how good is he going to be at the next level? What do you see?
Well, it's just not, again, you're just going athletically. You're just going to physical. And that's a box that he checks. Physically, he's got all the ability, the tools. I want to know mentally. I want to know about his heart. I want to know about his competitive nature. You can't really see that on film. You can't. So you're talking to Cristobal. You're talking to teammates. You're talking to parents. You're talking to aunts and uncles. Man, if you're going to invest that first-round pick, you're going to talk to a lot of people. They even did it with me 40 years ago. They're talking to Mouse, talking to my teammates, talking to my mom and dad. I mean, they want to know what makes this guy bleed. I mean, you got to. Because everybody kind of checks that physical thing. I mean, come on, man. They got the tools. You make the throws. You don't. So I want to know about the second and third dimension about these young men before I pick you.
How much did playing for a Mouse Davis offense benefit you or help you when you made that transition?
It was huge. Absolutely. The biggest reason for my success in the NFL was throwing the ball that many times against all kinds of defenses that you can put up with 11 guys. We saw it all. Different forms of man. And I got to know, Mouse made it so important for me and made it very clear early on, you got to know more about defense than you got to know about our offense. You'll get the offense. You'll get that. I want you to understand what we call, what can they do with 11 players out there at different times. And I was a huge student, big student, a proponent of knowing the defense of what they can do of our teams that we play, then what offensive scheme you're going to run. So I really challenge these guys to get to know, you got to understand all kinds of, because in the NFL, man, they're fast. But let me just tell you something. They're really fast, and they're big. So it ain't be like college, and you better understand what kind of schemes they run defensively, because they're going to assume you know what to do offensively.
The 49ers in the Super Bowl, I keep thinking back to Super Bowl, and Jimmy Garoppolo took a lot of heat after, and Kyle Shanahan took some heat for the play calling as the Niners kind of fizzled in that fourth quarter. What happened in your eyes in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl to the Niners?
See, that's what everybody talks about, the play calling. I mean, the coaches prepare, they do, everybody knows the plays. The players got to execute. And when players don't execute what their assignment is, then you have, you know, misgivings, you have interceptions, you have a sack, you have misinformation, communication, John. So I don't buy all that. I'm the player that once I know the play and I prepared all well and they call that play, it's my job to execute. You got 11 guys got to execute that same play. So it's the players not executing. And then give credit to the opponent. You know, you got to give credit to the other team how well they played defensively. So Kansas City just wasn't an offensive juggernaut with Mahomes and all these speedy receivers. They had quite a defensive team that put on a show. So my whole thing, hey, they prepared. It's not the coaches. Now, I do agree, John, and I probably you agree too, right before the half. I mean, come on, man. Shanahan, use your timeout. Use the timeout. Give your team that minute 40 or whatever it would have been to have more time to execute the two-minute drill. That's the only coaching error that I would question was right before half. Other than that, hey, once they call the plays, come on, guys. You got to execute.
I'm always interested in sort of what the message is behind the action. And I felt like when Shanahan didn't use a timeout, if I was part of that 49ers team, I'd be wondering, like, does he not believe in us? Did he not think we could go down and get points? What, like that's in my head, or at least somewhere in the back of my mind as I'm headed to the locker room.
Yeah, especially offense, especially if I'm Jimmy. You know, I'm ready out there. I know what I would have done. I'm ready to hit the timeout right away and go up to, hey, what we got? What's our first three or four plays? What do you want to call? And not using that timeout, yeah, I think did put a little question mark in Jimmy's mind and maybe the offensive guys. What is this about? Like, did they really plan that? I don't think so. So, if I'm Jimmy G, I know how I would have felt. I would have felt, hey, I'm not too sure you can handle this. Buck 20 left. We're happy with tie game here or a close game, and that would have really frustrated me. I don't know how he took. I don't know if he even commented on it, but that. I would have been very frustrated.
Neil Lomax with us, former All-Pro NFL quarterback, Portland State legend. I want to shift here a little bit. We've got some high school football news. Houston Lillard gets the job at Jefferson High School. You've coached. You continue to coach and work with kids. You know how difficult it is these days to run a program, especially in the PIL. What do you think when you see a move like that?
Well, I just hope Houston understands, and any adult who takes over a high school program understands, you know, your number one goal is to serve those kids, to love those kids, and to mentor those young boys. I mean, yeah, some of these high schools, John, do have a better football program. You know, Jefferson's not known for its football program like Strickland's doing with the basketball program. So I'm sure he understands that. He has an opportunity to mentor, 30, 40, hopefully more young boys and mentor them into men, you know, using football as the activity to do that. You know, this is not Jesuit. It's not Lake Oswego, not West Lynn. So you're going to a school that struggles with football athletes. So make it attractive, and I hope he understands, like, when we go around the state and I go around the state, I keep reminding these coaches, your number one job is to serve those kids, to mentor them from boys to men. And if you can use football to do that, that is awesome. So don't forget about the second, third dimensions of these young boys who have a lot of issues, especially at Jefferson. I'm sure he understands that. Houston's going to do a great job, but a lot of adults forget that. It's still high school. This ain't college or pros. It's high school.
It's a daily basis that I hear from listeners or readers who are having problems with their youth sports program, whether it's baseball or basketball or 7-on-7. And generally the problem becomes when a coach kind of forgets their mission in there. You know what I'm talking about. They want to build a dynasty at the eighth grade level, and instead of building up kids.
Well, and there's nothing wrong with that, but I understand you're on a journey. It's not going to be 1 year or year two or year three. It might take 4, 5, or 6 years, and you got to have buy-in from the athletic director and buy-in from the principal and then buy-in from hopefully there's parents there who care, because a lot of schools that I go to, and, you know, John, you and I were talking about Keenan at Park Rose. Hey, Westland's not Park Rose. But he understands that. I think he's not going to change the way he is in his heart how to love and serve those boys. And then down the road, man, those boys will love you back, and they'll play harder. And Westland's going to have a whole lot more talent than Park Rose does, but someone who takes over Jefferson's got to understand this is not Jesuit.
Neil Lomax with us, former NFL quarterback. Before I cut you loose, the challenges that schools, especially in the metropolitan area here in Portland, face, we saw some programs that couldn't finish seasons or didn't have freshman programs. What the heck's going on with that? How do we fix that?
Well, it's complicated. You don't fix it in one day with one man. It takes a village and everything. But we just got to make it more attractive, John. We got to compete with the video games. What else is out there that's taking the time of these 14 and 15 and 16-year-olds? And convince mom and dad, and hopefully there is a mom and dad at home who care, that it's safe, that we have your child's safety, we have your child's health, and we're going to love up your child, man. We're going to love this boy or girl, and you got to make it attractive. So hire guys that can do that and young ladies that can do that. Bring them in, and, hey, we're going to change the program and make this just as attractive as the other things that your kids are doing right now.
Neil Lomax, you're the best. I appreciate the work you do with kids, the message you have, the fact that you care so much, and I can't imagine how many yards you throw for in today's NFL.
Don't worry about that. That's your goal today. Don't even worry about how many yards. Just enjoy the day. I love listening to you. You are awesome. I can't wait to play in your golf tournament.
Let's do it.
Money's for the Bald Faced Truth Foundation. Don't worry about the yards. Those will come.
But I can't help it. I look up and I go, look at these bums. Lomax would have had 5,000 yards this season.
Hey, you just give me 3.5 seconds. That's all I ask my guys. Please, guys, I don't care. Hold them, pull them down, just give me 3.5, and we will rock and roll. That's all I want. 3.5 seconds.
Well, you just had 15 minutes and 15 seconds, so there you go. Thank you, man.
And I'm still upright.
Yep.
That's good.
Thank you. There's Neil Lomax, former NFL quarterback. I remember coming to the Oregonian all those years ago and looking up stats at Portland State. And I remember seeing the NCAA record that Neil Lomax had. He had 90 NCAA records. He threw for 7 touchdown passes in a quarter. In a quarter! Jake Luton threw for 28 in his season. Lomax had one game against Northern Colorado in 1979. He threw 77 passes in the game. Mario Cristobal had to go vomit. 77 passes in a game. 90 NCAA records. 7 touchdown passes in a quarter. Neil Lomax, alone in the record books there. That's unbreakable. Nobody breaks that. 7.25. Not going to happen. Tip of the iceberg, though. He had 13,000 career passing yards. He set 90 records. He threw for 107 career touchdowns. To date, there's only 7 Division I quarterbacks who have as many career touchdown passes as Lomax. Andre Ware, David Klingler, those kinds of guys. But Lomax goes in the second round of the Cardinals in 1981, plays 9 years, 23,000 yards, 136 touchdowns, made a couple of Pro Bowls. But the stat that blows me away, 7 touchdown passes in a quarter. In a quarter! You got the bald-faced truth. Leave it here. I don't like to owe people. It's why I don't borrow things. I don't borrow sugar. I don't borrow milk. I don't borrow a shovel from my neighbor. I don't care if I need it. I don't borrow it. I don't like it hanging over my head. And you know, like it's been like 9-10 months that this losing bet that I had with the Dan Patrick Show, and in particular, Paulie, really was with Paulie of the Dan Patrick Show, has been hanging over my head. And they have not yet redeemed their winning prize. Now there's confusion over, are they supposed to come to Portland? Are they going to eat this meal on the East Coast? I heard Dan Patrick this morning say he wants to go to New York City. Paulie from the Dan Patrick Show has called in. Paulie, what's up, man?
John, I'm going to tell you 2 things right off the bat. I really don't even recollect what the bet was that we had. I just knew somehow I was going to get a free meal out of it. And two, as much as you don't like owing people, times that by five. That's how much we like holding things over people's heads for as long as we can.
It's like I borrowed a cup of sugar, and you guys are like, oh, we'll get it back one day.
We'll get it back someday.
I have the original audio from the bet, and then I've played it, but I'm confused over whether you guys are coming to Portland or am I buying a meal for you out there? What was your understanding?
I think we should come to Portland. I mean, first of all, any excuse to get out there is good with me. And, so I think that was the original bet is next time we're out there with you, you know, you take us out of the town and we just do some really big damage on your cart.
I think we can make a circuit of it. Like, it's not just one meal. It's you guys go to breakfast, open tab here, you go to lunch somewhere else, then we do dinner somewhere else, and you don't even have to spend the whole time with me. It's about you guys enjoying Portland.
Well, you know, it's funny. After we talked about this last time I called in the show, on my Twitter, I must have had 80 or 90 people suggest, you got to go to this sports bar, you got to go to this pub, you got to go to this place for salmon, you got to go to this place for this, which I love because, you know, we don't travel that much for the show, but when we do, we get to some towns for a day or two or 3 days, and I don't like having a bad meal. And you can always trust the locals. Sometimes there's places that you go to in a town that are too touristy, and I get worried about that. But then you find those places that are maybe 10 or 15 minutes outside of town or there's hidden gems. And that's what really get a kick out of.
Talking to Paulie from the Dan Patrick Show. All right, so here's the other thing. I won't pretend to really know you guys. I listen. What kind of people are you? What kind of places do you like to go?
Well, see, that's a mix because Dan eats pretty healthy. I don't, for lack of a better phrase. I don't. I like whatever food I can get my hands on. McLovin's pretty healthy, but he'll knock down some barbecue. He'll take down some steak. Seton's in the same boat. Fritzy's kind of a mess. He eats like a tuna on toast at a nice restaurant. I wish I could give you a better description, but you know, I would say anywhere that where the locals say this is a place you have to try before you leave town.
Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to solicit our listeners to give me all the great places that they think you guys should eat. You go back to your crew, try to figure out when you can get to Portland, and let's settle this thing.
Let's do it. Hey, I actually had something I was thinking about today because we've been on in Portland on radio there since we started the version of the Dan Patrick Show. And I think I've mentioned this before. Our Portland radios have always been in the top two or three of any town.
Yep.
That we're on.
Kill it.
So we have a thing on the Dan Patrick Show. We have a t-shirt shop, basically. We come up with any type of t-shirts we want, and it can be anything. And we did one years ago, Omaha for Peyton Manning. And we did one, the Rainbows, for when back in the day when it was Wes Matthews and Dane Lillard. And I want to know what the Portland people would like for a shirt that really speaks to the Portland sports fan. That's kind of inner circle. You know, my Twitter is at Paul Pabst.
Okay.
If you guys in Portland can hit me up and tell me, is there like, would you like to do a sports bar, a pub, a dive bar? Would you like to do a great old athlete from your town, like a nice Jerome Kirksey shirt? Something cool, something unique that we can make up. And we'll have it made up just for the Portland people.
I love it. Paulie, I appreciate that you called in. Thank you, man.
Love you.
All right, there's Paulie from the Dan Patrick.
We interrupt this broadcast with a special announcement from the Bald Face.
Hey, sorry to interrupt the podcast, but if you want to listen to more of the Bald Face Truth Radio Show, including more of this segment that you're listening to, make sure you subscribe on SoundCloud and iTunes to the Bald Face Truth Radio Show. Thanks for listening.